Some people would have you believe that if you're going to care and protect the environment, you got to suffer, give up the good life. Well, according to my next guest, being an environmentalist doesn't mean you have to sacrifice. You can have it all, the high style, high fashion, gourmet food, everything you need for your hip urban lifestyle, but provided in a way that doesn't harm the planet. Joining me now to talk about it is my guest, Josh Dorfman. He is co-founder and CEO of Vivavi, right, Josh?
That's right.
A home furnishing company specializing in eco-friendly design. He's also the host of a radio show called The Lazy Environmentalist, which airs on Sirius Satellite Radio. Welcome to this side of the microphone.
Thank you, Ira. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us, what is a lazy environmentalist?
A lazy environmentalist, I would say, there's probably a lazy environmentalist in just about all of us. And I think it's, you know, we look at statistics out there that say 80, 90% of Americans care about the environment. We're concerned about global warming. We know what the issues are. But yet we're not really taking actions to do anything about it. And as I look at that, I say, well, that's probably because if we care so much, we're not doing anything. There's an element there that just means that we're lazy. And it's not an indictment, but it's just sort of an acknowledgement of reality. And the lazy environmentalist point of view is to say, okay, if this is just the way we operate and we want product, we want a lifestyle that we're accustomed to, we're saying, all right, well, how can we just acknowledge that reality, work within that reality to provide consumers, provide people with better options that are going to fit their lifestyle so they can continue to go about things the way they do them, but align it with a cleaner planet?
Mm-hmm. So give us an idea of the kinds of products that you can provide them to have it all and still be environmentally safe, sound.
Well, some products would be an alternative to to what someone's purchasing now. Let's say, for example, jeans. There's a company called Loom State. The designer is Rogan, who is very well known, who's created a line of jeans made from organic cotton, so no insecticides, no pesticides. It's the kind of jeans that appear in Lucky Magazine, appear in Cargo, high style. They can compete on the style factor with any other kind of jean. They just happen to be better for the planet.
Mm-hmm. You have a line of furniture, which we're featuring on the Science Friday website. If you go to sciencefriday.com, you'll see a terrific bit of graphic there that Flora Lichtman put up for her. And this is not cheap furniture, though.
True. This is not cheap
furniture. It's not cheap stuff. It's hundreds of dollars for some of this furniture. But it's environmentally...
Sometimes,
I'm going to go there. But how is that being, you know... one could argue that you really, if you're going to serve the public, you should make cheap stuff that everybody can buy. What's your answer to that?
True. I would say in some ways it's a challenge. We are first and foremost a company. And as a company, we are committed to design. I mean, we have to stay in business. And I've been doing this for a few years. Mm-hmm. I have not experienced people who will buy products simply because it's eco-friendly. I'm not really interested in product that I wouldn't buy product just because it has to have some element of style design that's going to resonate with us and that we're going to want to have in our home. So the product that we put into the market, it's at a high price point. It's very well crafted. The materials are terrific. It tells a super design story. So for that kind of product, we do try to offer it at a very fair price, but we also feel that the value proposition is there. Mm-hmm. We'd love to see the market move to a place where there's more accessible product for people who want the same kind of thing. They want really stylish product that will fit their lifestyles. It's a challenge because the industry is so new. It's kind of like when you look at where the computer industry was 25 years ago, and the first computers cost thousands of dollars. But as more designers get involved, as more companies get involved, and you can create economies of scale, which is happening, mm-hmm. that price over time will start to come down.
1-800-989-8255, talking with Josh Dorfman, the lazy environmentalist on Sirius Satellite Radio. The designs of some of the furniture remind me of things that you might see in IKEA or Target. Do you see these products being sold in those places, or are they going to be strictly sold in your location?
Well, there's an aesthetic that I value that it's similar to an IKEA aesthetic, and that's mm-hmm. very clean lines, very contemporary. And I mean, that to us also we see as the innovation. I mean, we're really trying to tell a design story, and it's really to say, okay, there's when you can have the best design, and that best design is also going to be better for the environment. This could move to a place where it's available when we talk about eco-friendly product in places like Target. Target actually has a line of bedding pillows called Bamboo. Now, that bamboo, we actually own some of the pillows because we wanted to take a look. And you get the pillows. The cover says 35% bamboo, 65% cotton. And it's a step in the right direction. The inside is made of still all kinds of stuff you probably wouldn't want to lay your head on. But if Target's taking steps in those directions, I mean, it could move there really quickly.
Do you have a mission? An environmental mission? What would that be?
Well, I got into this because I feel that we are reaching a point where our consumption is damaging and will begin to deteriorate our quality of life. Mm-hmm. So while the things that I talk about come from the point of view of how do you grow a company, what I'm trying to do through the Lazy Environmentalist, through Vivavi, is communicate the idea that it is possible for us to align our lifestyles without sacrificing the way we live. It is possible to align our lifestyles with a cleaner planet. That's what our product is meant to communicate. That's what the Lazy Environmentalist is meant to communicate.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Of course, you could make the argument that if you were an old-style environmentalist, then you'd want to buy recycled things. Like you'd want to go down to the Salvation Army and pick up something there instead of going to your website or to your store to buy something new. That's not what you're interested in, that kind of logic.
Well, I think it's terrific, and I would say go for it. That kind of logic exists. What mm-hmm. we're putting into the market is something new, which is to say, now, why that kind of logic exists, it doesn't resonate with millions of Americans who don't do that.
They think they have to sacrifice. That's the sacrifice model.
That might right. be some of the sacrifice. The more you have to put more effort into it. Now, maybe that's not
that's
sacrifice.
That's the lazy part of it.
So the lazy part would say, okay, hey, if you want to drive an SUV, and maybe you have small kids who you want them to be safe when you take them to work, and that's just your reality, then we would say a hybrid SUV is going to be a better option. Is it the perfect option? No. But does it embrace reality that this person wants an SUV? Absolutely. So everything that we're doing is trying to reach out and engage more and more people in this environmental conversation.
Do people actually say, you know, are proud of their expensive environmentally sound objects or their furniture, their jeans or whatever? And say, you see, I'm not sacrificing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You have a lot of – we threw a party back in January called ECNYC. Mm-hmm. And this was an event that brought together people from fashion design, media, film, people who were looking for a venue, a nightlife venue that also reflected their social and environmental consciousness. Now, these are people who work for magazines like Beauty. They work for Vanity Fair. They work for Elle. They're New Yorkers just like anybody else, but they have more consciousness to them. They don't want to sacrifice lifestyle just to do the right thing, and that's really who we're trying to cater to.
Mm-hmm. So you make it fashionable. In other words, it's a fashionable
thing. We make it hip.
Hip. I don't know the right words anymore. Hep used to be when I was in the 50s. Now it's right. Hep and other things. 1-800-989-8255. Glenn in Tucson. Hi, welcome to Science Friday, Glenn.
Good afternoon. I had a question. I owned a store called the Ecology Store for 17 years in Arizona, and we carried over 5,000 different products and hundreds of books as well about the concept this gentleman is speaking about. And my question to him is, are you actually making money at it?
That's a fantastic question. We are not making as much money as I would like to see us make. And I think it goes to a point of this is a very new industry. So we are still operating as a startup. And, you know, our revenues are growing and we're nearing break even and we're working with our investors. At the same time, we are really at the infancy of something that's very new. So it's a haul. I mean, it's really a haul to communicate this kind of value proposition to consumers. I see a lot of great companies that are young that are making great strides. I haven't seen anyone really explode yet and just achieve tremendous success just yet.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Can you offer products like a hybrid car that, you know, maybe from a maker that doesn't sell one in the U.S. or another energy-efficient car that you might import, or is that something that big outside of your domain?
Well, it may be out of our immediate domain with Vivavi.
Right.
Along with this party that we did, ECNYC, I've started a consultancy with some partners called EC that helps position other companies at what we call the nexus of style and sustainability. It's a product development company. It's a branding company. We see companies, for example, like Mercedes, which is about to introduce a technology called Blue Tech into the United States, which is a very very clean diesel technology. It requires a new kind of engine. It's going to be in their E-Series. It's a luxury class car. And that's the kind of product that we get really excited about because it's, again, it's a product is now, is it for everybody? No. But is it a product that says, wow, you mean I can have a certain kind of lifestyle and I'm going to be doing something that's more responsible for the environment? Cool. I'm all about that. And we see that as good initial steps in moving in the direction where we all want to go, and that's a cleaner planet.
So you sort of want to hypothesize the environment. Environmental product.
I like that.
You know,
I like that.
To make them desirable because not only their quality, but they have a certain buzz like the iPod does. There are other MP3 players out there, whatever, but it's not an iPod.
Mark Spellin, who's the publisher of a magazine called Plenty, said that one of the great things about the Toyota Prius, for example, is that it's a car that you don't need to put a bumper sticker on because it says your politics straight out. You drive the Prius, you know this person cares about the environment. If we could do something like that in furniture, if we could create these kinds of products that are so iconic that they stand on their own and say, okay, yeah, this is something that stands for environmentalism, I think that's a great way to go. And, yeah, we're trying to get there.
And that's what makes it elite because most people buy things for price point. You're saying, like maybe some people argue, well, if you look at the total value of a Prius over the years, it's not really that much cheaper because you're paying so much more money up front, even though you're getting the tax credits and whatever. But other people will say, well, they're making a statement when they buy that. You're looking for people who want to make a statement when they buy your kinds of products.
To some degree, although we find that the people who buy our products, they just love them. We have someone who comes in and says, wow, I've been looking for a dining table for 3 years. I want that dining table. Well, did you know it's made from FSC, Forest Stewardship Council certified sustainable wood? Oh, that's nice, but I really want that table. And to me, if you can play in that place where people want your product because they love your product and the environmental aspects are almost invisible, then you're at a place where you can really reach a mass market. Mm-hmm. We promote both. We promote the design and the environment.
We're talking about environmentalism with Josh Dorfman this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Josh is the host of a show called The Lazy Environmentalist, also CEO and founder of Vivavi. What is the name Vivavi? I'm sure you're asked this all the time.
It took a long time to come up with a name. We were thinking about, you know, we couldn't call it something like Cool Green Products because, right?
It's been used.
Exactly.
Or Tree Hugger.
We just couldn't get
like that
right. Domain name. And we wanted to do something, you know, you're battling a lot of stereotypes when you're right. Talking about eco-friendly product. We talk about something called the burlap sack theory, and that's this idea. People think if it's environmentally friendly, then it has to be utilitarian. It generally kind of has to, you know,
right.
We say kind of suck. I hope I can say that. Mm-hmm. So we're battling against that. So we want to put product out there that is going to be really beautiful and that's going to resonate on its own merit.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Kelly in Ithaca. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I'm listening to this and wondering if this is not just a Band-Aid. If the products themselves are sustainable, what about the manufacturing of those products? Is that also green and sustainable?
Good question, Josh.
In many instances, it is. The designers that we work with are very, very conscious of the entire process. There's a number of companies who are not necessarily putting eco-friendly product into the market who are also greening their manufacturing processes. It's not necessarily a Band-Aid. We do see it as steps in the right direction that just kind of embrace what Americans are capable of doing right now. We're not shooting for the stars. Or we're not trying to hit a home run, I guess you would say, before we figure out how to get to first base.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in many ways we are so far behind the eight ball when it comes to embracing sustainable business practices that that's why it took us a long time to hone this value proposition, which is to say, all right, how does the world work? What do corporations do? What do consumers do? How do we just embrace that reality and begin to shift it slowly, yes, but shift it toward a place where we're going to reach a more environmentally responsible consumer economy?
Okay, Kelly?
I just wonder, do you mind if I ask another question?
Yeah, sure.
I just wonder that if providing that service to people who are not willing to sacrifice their lifestyle for the betterment of anybody else, if putting that product out there and making it available only puts off more Americans actually making that sacrifice and realizing that their lifestyles may not be able to be what they are now and still have a world left for everyone else.
I think that that's a very valid point of view. My feeling is that both we can go down both these roads at the same time. It's just it's my point of view, and I certainly can respect and appreciate where you're coming from.
Thank you, Kelly.
Good
point. You're welcome. Have a good weekend. 1-800-989-8255. Can you give us an idea of any products in development that we may be seeing?
I can, as a matter of fact. I am working with Chuck Heckman of Delano Collection, which is a very, very hip, sustainable design product company, to develop a new line of furniture that will be based on using bamboo, something called Plyboo, which is a technology that actually lets you take plywood, but actually make it out of bamboo, Plyboo. So we are developing a line of furniture that will be showing in May at the International Contemporary Furniture Fair. It should be very hot, very cool.
Mm-hmm. We were talking off the air about there used to be a company in the Bronx here in New York that took pallets. These wooden pallets from around the world, and something like a quarter to a third of all the wood in the world is locked up. Manufactured wood is locked up in pallets, and they were recycling the pallets. And some of these were tremendous hardwoods. They're made, in Malaysia or whatever, and teak, things like that, making terrific furniture out of them. I mean, I was just suggesting that.
I'm going to look for
that. That's one way. You could capture three different, techniques at once there, recycling, new, and hip.
There's a company in Williamsburg called Scrap Pile that actually takes that takes scraps from other studios, from other factories that would just be thrown away, and actually takes those scraps, so not pallets, but wood that would just be disposed of, and is making some of the most beautiful furniture in the market today. I mean, it's really very forward thinking.
Well, it'd be interesting to watch the new products as they come off the assembly line, would you call them, or they're all handmade?
Both. Yeah, both.
Josh Dorfman is a founder and CEO of Evavi, a home furnishing company specializing in eco-friendly design. He's also the host of a radio show called The Lazy Environmentalist on Sirius Satellite Radio. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. Kimberly Jones is our technical director. Our audio engineers are Neil Rausch and Manoli Weatherall in New York. Greg Smith composed our theme music. And our D.C. engineers in Washington, Kevin Waite, Michael Schweppe, and Jay Olzelski, thank you for giving us some help today. We had help also from NPR librarian Mary Glendinning. If you have comments or questions, write to us at Science Friday, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036. Surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, where you can podcast Science Friday and back editions of Science Friday. Also, Science Friday's Kids Connection is there. Free teaching material we make from Science Friday programs. Just click on the For Teachers button on the left side. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.